It's James from SurvivalPunk.com. Good morning. How are you guys? It is 64 degrees. I don't know what's going on over there. There's weird things going on over there. I know it doesn't make any sense to you guys, but there's weird. I have promised the internet is coming to me. That means I can do live streams and interviews. Today we're going to talk about living without a fridge. But before we get into that, though, I just want to talk with you guys for a little bit. Man, I am, as soon as that internet comes, there will be some interview. I read an email yesterday. I believe it was in my spam folder from the publicist for Marjorie Wildcraft. Maybe there were some sketchy things that went on with her and Jack Spirko in the past, but I have Marjorie's DVD on Backyard Food Production. That was a great DVD. So I don't care. Marjorie, I like Marjorie, and I'll definitely have her on the show. With that, there are some other people. At one point, I had a dream list. I had three people on my dream list of people that I wanted to interview for the podcast. That would be like, okay, you've really made it. I've already gotten one of those on there. However, it was preceded by my two-year hiatus, so there's a funny story in that, and I'll tell it to you. So, if you want to know, the three people on my dream list were Rob Wolf, Tim Ferriss, and maybe Jack Spirko? Maybe? I probably could get Jack on. However, like a value-for-value thing, like why would he come on my show? I did have Rob Wolf on twice, actually. I had Rob Wolf on twice, because the first time it didn't actually record. We did the whole interview. It didn't record. It was fantastic. I had a great time. And really, really, like, sad that it didn't record. He agreed to come back on. It was like 2 months later. He came on. And then I can tell that my mood wasn't there because I was still salty about it being not recorded. Anyway, I don't know that I'll ever get Tim Ferriss on, but I did get Rob Wolf on, and that was a big milestone. Anyway, interviews are coming. Let's talk about living without a fridge. Plotting for this episode was good. I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like we've talked about this in a while, and I probably need to revisit. I did an episode on food preservation methods from around the world, because there are a lot of lessons that we can learn from other cultures and bring here. Not everything works. Obviously, we're not gonna bury shark meat in the ground here in Tennessee. One, we don't have shark meat, and two, we're not a frozen tundra. It's not gonna work. But there are other things, right? So obviously a lot of us have made sauerkraut. That was my first blog post on survivalpunk.com, was me making sauerkraut. Sauerkraut's cousin is kimchi from South Korea. There's no reason why we can't make kimchi here. There are other things like the century eggs. Probably don't need to bring that over here. That can stay forever. If you want a funny video, there was a video of me and Catchy Mike eating century eggs on the Survival Punk YouTube channel. It did not go well. There's a reason that my nickname was The Sick One. So you can watch that if you want to laugh. But so I came up with this idea, if shit hits the fan, we might not have refrigeration. It's a high probability. You can take all the measures you want, and if you have solar and you have enough stuff, you probably can keep refrigeration going for a while. Things break, though. You know, like, how long is your fridge or freezer going to last? If if the collapse truly happens. Also, and that's if we're EMP'd, like, that might not be applicable anyway. You might have made the best plans. Maybe you forgot to Faraday cage your entire house. So planning, knowing how to do these things now behooves you. It makes a lot of sense to learn how to do these and practice doing them now, so that if you need to, you can live without a refrigerator. Some of these I do myself, simply because I live in a tiny house. I am looking. Some of the... We'll move on. I don't want to get too distracted. Yesterday's episode was so scatterbrained, I'm like, they're gonna tar and feather me. Like, I could not concentrate that. Anyway, a lot of these methods I do because I live in a tiny house. And in said tiny house, I do not have a full-sized refrigerator. It's bigger than a college fridge, but it's still not a full-size fridge. I have lusted after getting a full-size fridge. I tried, the last time our fridge went out, I kind of flirted with the idea of getting a bigger fridge. One that was just kind of under the size of a real fridge, basically. But bigger than the fridge we have, and my wife talked me into getting the same model, and I hate it for lots of reasons, like a billion reasons. I hate that fucking fridge. It's not big enough, it doesn't hold enough, it's hard to meal prep. So one of the things that we do is try to utilize some of these methods that we're going to talk about. Obviously I'm not salt curing, but there are a bunch of other stuff that I've done to get outside the fridge. So the first one we're going to talk about is curing. Salt, smoke, and time. So there was a Happy Meal on the road. That seems like a horror movie. Curing is one of the oldest methods of food preservation known to mankind. For obvious reasons, it works, and we invented it a long time ago. It has been proven over thousands and thousands of years to be effective against spoilage. So, salt draws moisture out of the meat, making it harder for bacteria to grow. Smoking adds flavor, antimicrobial compounds. Let me super emphasize smoking adds flavor. Smoking is fantastic. Nothing beats that flavor of meat that was smoked and at least cooked over a burning object. I think it was yesterday I was contemplating. I was like, we are planning to move at some point. We're looking at houses, we're kind of exploring ideas. We want a bigger house, and I want land that's not shaded so I can grow things. Anyway, and more room for my daughter to play. I mean, anyway, what's the point? Where was I going with that? Oh, so I was thinking, I was like, my grill that I have, I love my grill. I got it on clearance and it was missing some parts, but they weren't. My grill is fine and I've cooked a bunch of stuff on it. But it is kind of janky. And if I move, do I want to bother trying to move that thing or get a new grill? Probably get a new grill. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe I should think about getting one of those, propane grills. Then, I have propane tanks, so I would already be there for that. And I wouldn't need to take my propane tanks with me for the hot water heater, but I could, right? But I was like, I've had food cooked on a propane grill, and a charcoal grill is better. Charcoal grill is so much better. So I was kind of going back and forth on that. But anyway, smoking adds fantastic flavor. salt. So salt curing works great for pork, fish, and even homemade jerky. I have never made salt cured homemade jerky. I've never heard of that, but I came across it in the episode plotting phase, and I will probably investigate it. Cold smoking, and that's another one of those projects that I want to do. I've smoked meat on my grill that I was just talking about. I have never done cold smoke. It's always been obviously active hot smoke. Cold smoking adds flavor and shelf life, especially for ham, sausages, and fish. I have never messed with, obviously I just said I never messed with salt curing. There are things going on down here. Definitely doing speed limit. Awesome. I've never messed with cold smoking, and I've never made like hams or anything, or prosciuttos or sausages. I have super considered it. I have not yet done it, but I have super considered it. It'll be a fun project to do. I believe I made it past those police without them turning on their lights and coming after me. Paranoia is a son of a bitch. Anyway, I've also super considered doing... let's wrap up this last part before I go into chit-chatty discussion mode. Learn the basics of salting. Ratios, air drying, and proper storage. There are a lot of people that... I've seen YouTube videos that have done homemade sausages and hams and stuff. Glenn and Friends cooking channel, I saw him do some hams. So that's one place. I like Glenn. He does some good videos. Townsend's did a salt pork episode. I super thought about doing that. So let's go off on a tangent, right? I will try to find that salt pork episode from Townsend's, put in the show notes in the link section, which normally only has the Amazon links. It really, like, on many occasions, I ponder the fact that whole industries have came and gone. Salt pork used to be a massive industry. Massive. There were rules and regulations. There was multiple spring up jobs to support the salt pork industry, and it basically vanished when refrigeration was invented. People are like, oh fuck, I don't need this shit anymore. And I know if right now you're going, technically, James, if you go to the store, you could buy it. Yes, you can go to the store right now and you go find a product that is called salt pork. Or salted pork. It is not salt pork. Yes, it says salt pork. That is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, I don't think you can buy anywhere in the modern world. The FDA probably would come shoot you if you tried to start a company selling salt pork now. If you somehow don't know, salt pork is basically a bunch of cuts of pork stacked in a barrel with salt. That I believe that is it. And it just sits there. And you could go to the market back in the day and you'd be like, I need about 2 pounds of salt pork. And they would go into the barrel and they'd get you your salt pork. It draws out the moisture. It becomes like a brine. And it prevents any bacteria. I want to go find videos and watch what people eat salt pork that has been salted for a time. Like, salt alters the texture of meat. So, and obviously it's going to be super embedded. When you get your salt pork, you're going to have to wash the salt off. You're probably going to have to do some boilings to remove some even more of the salt. And I know you're going, James, I fucking love salt. And I'm like, I fucking love salt too. However, you can absolutely have too much salt, even for a saltophiliac. And oh my God, my daughter loves salt more than anyone I've ever met. I love salt. My wife loves salt. My daughter heckin' loves salt. We have to sometimes take the salt shaker away from her. Like, nope, 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 nope. You are just eating plain salt. Stop it. It's sweet and funny. But yeah, I want to see what people are doing with their salt pork. Obviously, you're not going to make pork chops out of it. But there's probably some things you can do. I have really thought real hard about doing like a wide mouth mason jar, small batch salt pork. My wife wouldn't touch it, obviously, because that would give her too much anxiety. But yeah. Oh, let's move on. I was like, man, is this gonna be enough content for one episode? Oh, it is. I've also considered making salt-cured smoked bacon that I can make that way. I've never super thought about making a ham, but that would also be a good one. Canning. Let's move on to canning. Canning, you have water bath and pressure canner. Your pressure canner is it high acid? Pressure canner for low acid. Pressure canner for low acid vegetables and meats. Water bath canning for high acid fruits and vegetables. Unless you're the Amish where you water bath can everything for 3 hours. Your mileage may vary. I'm not giving you advice. You can rebel as hard or as not hard as you want. But I have two pressure canners. So if I need meat-based things, I just pressure can it. One of those pressure canners is electric. It doesn't have the ability to make like quart jars, but it can do smaller jars, and that's fine. And then I have a big metal pressure canner that I can do stuff on. It's just loud and scary. This is one of those things that I've done. This and dehydrating, which we'll get to next, are one of the things I do to kind of make up for my freezer, right? So months and months ago, last fall maybe, my wife put up some beef stew. We started looking at meals in jars as a good thing to put up. We put up some beef stew. We didn't do it, but we were considering pot pie in a jar. That was a good one. Homemade chicken soup probably wouldn't be a bad one either. Like, I mean, obviously homemade soup is better than the store-bought soup anyway. Probably healthier for you, and you can control the ingredients. You could, if you are on like a keto diet, canning your own homemade soups is the way to go. Obviously, now you can probably find a few options in the store, but you always can't, and your unit cost for making soup at home is nothing, basically. It's so cheap to make soups at home, and it's like $4 or more to buy a can of soup. Like a keto low-carb soup. There's just no reason not to, right? Chili is another one. In the past, I had canned ground beef because it's cheap and easy, and the unit cost comes out to be pretty darn good. Stew meat is another good one. We did beef stew, and that worked great. I think I said chili. Chili would be a good one. I saw a recipe for burrito in a jar, and that, like with the rice and the beans and all of that, that's a good one. I saw a lady on YouTube, right? She was like an ultra frugal homesteading mom, and she would buy dry beans in bulk and then pressure can them because the unit cost for them being canned is cheaper. And then they're cooked, right? So I've always sucked at making beans at home unless I put them in a crock pot and let them go for like 2 fucking days or some bullshit. Because I always forget to soak them. You don't have to soak them. You just pressure can them, and then you have beans ready to go. And I thought that was a good idea, and not like, especially in our like electric pressure canner, like that would be an easy way to go. So burrito in a bowl, Jan's jellies, fantastic. there's a lady at work that was brought me a jar of canned cowboy candy, the jalapenos. Oh, so good. Need to eat those. So let's move on to dehydrating. The housekeeping today will be super short. Super short. Canning. There's a lot you can do to canning. Ugh, your lights are so bright, you jackass. God darn it, motherfucker. Go around me. Anyway, there are a bunch of YouTube videos where you can go watch and see what's really good for dehydrating. In the past, I have dehydrated ground beef, and it does store really well. Thank you for turning off your brights. I appreciate that. It does store like a year, so you can do that. What I did was I would cook them, and then you have to like rinse all the fat off, and then you can start dehydrating them. Fruits, vegetables, all that's good to dehydrate. I did do an experiment where I did dehydrated broccoli. If you're going to use that like a casserole or something, that's fine. If you want to like rehydrate it and just use it, it's not fantastic. You're going to have to do something to it. You're probably not going to really be able to like roast it. It's going to be mushy. If you're going to use it in a casserole, that's probably the best. Or really like cheese it up, that would be fine. But mine didn't rehydrate super well. So that, I think, if you're going to use it for, and I've said it like five times already, it's good for a casserole. And there's different things. Like you can make fruit leathers. You make a million things. And just do that right away. Jerky, fantastic. So that's some of the ways you can live without a refrigerator, especially to save your proteins and stuff. And with that, let's go ahead and knock out our housekeeping super quick. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. I did stay on topic much better this time. 3:52 in the morning, sometimes it's hard to wrangle my brain when I have to like hype it up enough to be able to talk at 3 in the morning. So if you enjoyed this episode, do consider joining the Survival Punk Army, which you can do for as low as $5 a month or as much as $50 per year. And that you get exclusive discount to vendors, ebooks, and the episodes of convenient download zip files. Next, you can consider joining on Patreon for as low as $1 a month or as much as $5 per month, where you get the episode earlier than everybody else. Today, your episode will be raw and uncut. That's the way it is. There's a lot going on yesterday. I didn't get to record an episode because I worked on my book instead. Wish my book is almost done, and then I'll have to edit it and publish it, and that'll be awesome. And maybe some of you guys will listen to it. Or my dream is to get it. My dream is to sell it and get it picked up as an audiobook. So there's that. Next, if you go to survivalpunk.com, you click on any of the links, there'll be an Amazon item of the day in the link section. If you buy said Amazon item of the day, I will make a few pennies and you won't pay anything extra, and everybody is happy. And lastly, do consider sharing the show wherever you're hanging out online, and that helps us grow the show. And with that, this has been James from survivalpunk.com. DIY to survive, you guys. See here now, see here now. In a war gone mad, survival the key. DIY kings with a plan to be free. Clamping for the fall when the system breaks. Learning from the past, fixing our mistakes. Resilience built on sweat and grit. Fight for life, gotta never quit. From the city streets to the wild unknown. With our hands, we carve the stone. Tables we turn.